Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Hello there, and welcome to another edition of the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Walter Storholt here alongside David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. And David, I don't have to ask what's going on in your world this week. As we record today's show, we're still relatively on the heels of the big Chiefs Super Bowl victory. I know you're still riding high on that.
And I will admit, I recorded the thing, and I've watched the last 9 minutes of the fourth quarter four times again.
You've watched the last 9 minutes of the fourth quarter four times already?
Yeah, because with 9 minutes left, it looked like it was impossible that we were going to win. And boom, there it was. So pretty exciting stuff around here.
That's pretty cool. I remember when I was growing up, I was a New York Giants fan. All of my family's from the New Jersey area, and so I just sort of was, you know, born into that fandom right out of the gate. And I remember having their Super Bowl victories like on VHS tape, and we'd go back and watch it every once in a while. And then my dad is a racing fan. Well, more so was a racing fan. He doesn't really follow NASCAR much anymore, but our whole family was also into racing for a really long time. And we would do that with races. You know, we'd get some of the most exciting Daytona 500s we've had. We'd have them on VHS tapes. And, you know, when the whole family would gather together, we'd watch old Daytona 500s. Queue up the last couple of laps and watch them. You know, it's pretty funny to think back on that. But hey, when you're passionate about a sport and you like to relive those moments, it makes it fun, yeah. Doesn't it?
Heck yes. Well, pull it out and watch it again.
There you go. Well, you have that, especially with today's technology, those replays and highlights will be available at your fingertips for pretty much forever from here on out. So that's pretty cool. Well, we've got a great show on the way today. We're going to talk about four simple strategies to increase your net worth. Now, if that's not a headline that's going to make you click and listen to the show, I don't know what is. Who doesn't want to increase their net worth, especially if the strategies are simple, David?
Well, exactly. But as you and I were chatting before we actually let the tape roll, it's kind of like the strategies for losing weight. Okay, I'm either going to exercise more or I'm going to eat less. We know what to do, but actually doing it is the most difficult thing. So the strategies that we're going to talk about today are pretty simple. You're going to get to the end of this and go, you know what? Most of those were pretty obvious, and I might have just known those. But you actually have to take action on anything that's worthwhile. You got to take action. So if I can boil this down to four simple strategies that you actually take action on as a listener, that's going to be pretty awesome for me. I'm going to feel super about that.
So the what will seem obvious, but we're going to get a little bit into the why and the how, and that'll be where the helpful bullet points certainly come from on today's show. All right, well, what's the first simple strategy we can take to increase net worth?
Well, so I want to just take a quickie little step back. If you listen to our podcast on financial New Year's resolutions, then you have already created your net worth statement as of January 1st of 2020. If you haven't, then after we're done here, or pause us, or put it on your list to listen to that podcast, because what you need to do first is know what your net worth is, and that's how you then go forward measuring, am I increasing it or, unfortunately, decreasing it? So, first of all, your net worth is very simple. If you sold all of your assets and then you took the money and paid off everybody that you owe, whatever you have left, that's your net worth. So, as a young guy, I learned a quote from Ben Franklin. He said, there's basically two ways to become wealthy, increase your income or decrease your spending. And the fastest way is to do both at the same time. So that's basically the foundation of what we're going to talk about today. So the first of the simple steps that I want to talk about today is understanding your debts. So when you did your net worth statement, you had your assets on the left side. You listed your liabilities or your debts on the right-hand side. Subtracting your assets from your liabilities gives you your net worth. So it's really important that you understand your debts. Who do you owe? Why do you owe them? How much do you owe? And will that debt ever go away? And if so, when? So you could go back through our podcast history and find a what I thought was a pretty good podcast on good debt versus bad debt. So it's really important knowing who you owe. For instance, if you owe a credit card company some money, that's a bad debt. That's a really bad debt. And you really have to focus on getting rid of that bad debt. If you owe an automobile company, a finance company, if you have debt on your auto, that's perfectly fine. Most people do. But let's just say you buy a $45,000 car on a six-year loan. How much is that car going to be worth 6 years from now?
Half that, something like that, right?
Probably half that, maybe a little bit less. So if it's worth 20 grand and you paid somebody $400 a month for the privilege of driving that car, that's an asset that has depreciated over time. Your home, on the other hand, which I would call good debt, almost always is good debt, the home is very likely going to hold its value or appreciate over time. So 10 years from now, your home is probably going to be worth more than you paid for it. And you made a mortgage payment, but otherwise you'd have been paying somebody rent. And part of that mortgage payment, the interest, is probably deductible from your taxes. So that's the main difference between good debt and bad debt. You need to know who you owe. Is it good debt or bad debt? Why do you owe it? Well, I'm either buying a house or I got credit card debt because I wanted something that I couldn't really afford today, but I decided I really, really, really had to have it. So, Walter, I pulled out, I got sitting in front of you right now, my wife and my credit card bill from this month. We have we charge a lot of stuff on our credit card. Why? Well, because Southwest gives us points every month that we fly free on, and we pay that balance off every month. But there's a little box on this statement. So our balance this month is $2,870. $2,870. If we paid the minimum payment, then we would pay off the balance in 11 years. And that $2,800 would have cost us $5,800 over that period of time. Because the interest rate on these things is, you know, 17 or 18 or 19%. So a great way to reduce your net worth is by carrying credit card debt. Nah, just really don't do it. So that's number one. Understand your debts, understand who you are, and make sure that you do everything you can to, it's okay to have good debt like a home mortgage. It's really horrible to have credit card debt. And your automobile debt, you want to keep that as light as possible. And just because you paid off your car doesn't mean you have to go get a new one and trade the old one in. Maybe drive it for a while after you own it, and then you're paying zero for every mile you drive.
Yep, that's as someone who's in a household of two paid off vehicles right now. Now they may be old beaters, Dave, but I like not having a car payment. I'll tell you what, that feels
isn't that freeing, Walter?
It's pretty nice. Yes, very, very nice.
It frees up so much other money for other stuff, like other things that you want that you don't have to put on a credit card, or maybe you slam a little more into your 401k. Either way, it's a beautiful thing to not have a car payment.
Yep, absolutely. I think my lifetime car strategy is going to be to buy older vehicles that the people who bought them put all the bells and whistles in, but they bells and whistles have lost their value over time, but they still work just fine, and now I get to use the bells and whistles for a much lower price point. So that's my strategy. So I've got like a decked out Tahoe that cost me next to nothing. Now, it's got 230,000 miles on it, but it's got heated seats, David. It's got good sound system. I mean, it's got all the good stuff in there. So
very nice.
You know, that's the way I'm going to roll for a while. I've always kind of taken some inspiration from the, isn't it Warren Buffett who just drives an old truck around? Like he just has an old pickup truck that he drives. So
right.
I take some pride in that. By the way, on that credit card statement, can you share with us what, you know, you talked about the minimum payment. What are they recommending as the minimum payment, or what is the that threshold?
Yeah, so on that $2,870 we charged on our stuff we just bought last month to live on, the minimum payment is $35.
Look how attractive that is. I mean, especially to young people, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I can pay off this entire $2,800 balance or pay $35 and let it float for a month. And then I can pay $35 the next month and let it float again.
Or maybe I'll just pay it off all next month. But then you charge another $1,000 next month and all of a sudden it's $3,800 or $4,800. And honestly, I've seen it snowball on people. And once you get behind that snowball, actually, you get in front of a snowball that's rolling downhill.
It picks you up in it.
Yeah, it's a tough deal. I'm sitting in front of a couple of stats from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York that I thought were pretty interesting. Americans have $860 billion of credit card debt. And the average credit card balance per cardholder in 2019, first quarter of 2019, was $6,028. That is a snowball that you don't want to have bearing down in behind you, because eventually it'll catch you up and swallow you up, and it will just put a real serious dent in your ability, back to the title of this podcast, it'll put a serious dent in your ability to grow your net worth over time. So resist the temptation. Don't do it. Pay those credit cards off every month. And if it fits into your lifestyle, buy a home, because that is an appreciating asset as opposed to a car, which is a depreciating asset. Cars, electronics, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, you're going to have to get the St. Bernard to pull you out of the snowball of debt there. So make sure that you don't have to do that, because they are messy dogs and leave a lot of slobber behind. You don't want to have to pull one of those into the equation at all.
Sure.
Previous owner of our home had two St. Bernards, David. So I got to meet them and got to be showered by them with their slobber. It was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Expenses is the next thing on the list. Four simple strategies to increase net worth. What are we doing with expenses, David? Are we reducing them? Are we understanding them? What's the step here?
Well, the easiest way to cut them is to understand them. But the point of number two is to cut your expenses. Make sure, at an absolute minimum, make sure you're spending less than you make every month. So your net worth grows over time by either the value of your assets going up or by adding new assets to your portfolio, so to speak. That could be money in your IRA. That could be your house going up in value. It could be your savings account going up. But the value of your assets going up, your car is not going to go up in value. Your electronics are not going to go up in value. But the value of the business that you own, it might, or a rental property you own, that probably goes up in value. Hopefully your 401k and your IRA go up in value, and your home goes up in value. So there are certain assets that you want to get a hold of and keep adding to. The way you do that, the way you are able to acquire assets that increase in value, is by having excess income to put into those assets. So the key, number two strategy, is know where your money is going every month. And if you're spending more than you're making, you have a problem that is going to increase over time and severely impact your ability to retire, to live long term the way you want to live.
Got to cut expenses. I know we just recently, I think we might have talked about this on a previous podcast, David, but cut the cord, took our cable bill way down from what it was, and just do the, you know, kind of $50 a month now online, you know, TV stream versus the, gosh, I think it felt like our cable package was getting up close to $200 a month there at some point. I mean,
it was amazing.
It was crazy.
And it just, that's one of those creeper expense items that, you know, just kind of increases a little bit every month until all of a sudden it's a pretty big number.
Yep, absolutely. That's very true. All right, so understand debt. We've got to cut our expenses as well. We're well on our way to becoming, successful at increasing our net worth. David, what's step number three we can take?
Well, three, I've entitled it, have an emergency fund. And somebody out there, at least somebody's going to say, you know, that doesn't actually sound like a strategy to increase my net worth. So here's why I disagree. I think it is a strategy to increase your net worth. You have a car and it needs new tires or a new alternator or something that costs $600 or $700 or $800 or $1,000. Or you have a wreck and you chose the $750 deductible with your insurance policy. Or even worse, what if you lose your job? Well, you still have your mortgage payment or your rent payment. You still have your car payment. You still have to eat, and you still got to put gas in your car. So there are a lot of good reasons why, if you don't have an emergency fund, the way you're going to fund those things is probably borrowing the money, either from a family member or a credit card company, probably not a bank, because they don't really lend money to people who need money. They lend money to people who don't need money. So not having that emergency fund is a great way to put yourself in a bind, because stuff happens. life happens, and it's usually when you least expect it, and oftentimes when you can least afford it. So when you don't need that money, it kind of seems like an asset that you could be putting to work harder. Maybe I should have put that money in my 401k, where, frankly, you can't get to it until you're 59 and a half without a penalty. So having that emergency fund is a very often overlooked piece of somebody's strategy to make sure that their net worth keeps growing each year. But having that there can really bail you out in a time when, you know, something bad hits you and you're going to fix it one way or the other. You just like to be able to fix it with some money that you've already set aside for that and not have to go out and borrow at what is going to end up being a really horrible rate that's going to set you back months or years.
The emergency fund is so key. Anybody who has been saved by their emergency fund before will certainly tell you, boy, I'm really glad that I had that. Nobody's ever regretted having an emergency fund, right, David?
Agreed.
Yeah. All right, last but not least, the fourth simple strategy to increase your net worth. What do we got, David?
Well, going back to old Ben Franklin, where we started the thing, is to increase your income. Now, that's more of a long-term
strategy. Easier
said
than done, but yes.
It is easier said than done, but it's strategic. So you don't wake up one morning and say, you know what, I'm going to increase my income today. But rarely do the good things in life come to you because of short-term decisions. So if you're sitting there listening to this podcast today and you are 25 or 35 or 40, what I'd like for you to do is figure out, how can I become more valuable to my current firm? Because if I'm more valuable to them, they have to pay me more, or I'll leave because someone will want my more valuable talents. Maybe you've been at that firm for a while and you have become more valuable and they're not paying you more. Fine. Market your talents elsewhere. Find a new firm that will pay you better. A terrific way to increase your income. But if you don't find ways to deserve that additional income, nobody's going to pay you more for doing the same. That's just not the way our world works. You need to qualify for that new higher income or career somehow. How is that? Well, a lot of times it's by getting some more education. Walter, I think offline you and I were talking about your wife and her new job and the extra education she got to achieve a new level of work in her same field. Maybe it's accomplishments. Maybe you're in sales. And the more accomplishments you can stack on top of each other, that helps you qualify for a new, higher, better paying position inside or outside of your company. So, you know, the other thing might be that you, I think these days, they call it a side hustle, but maybe you start a side business. When I was a young guy, we own a couple of rental properties that I bought 30 years ago, that my wife and I bought 30 years ago. That was after our CPA back then said, Dave, you need to find a way to make money while you sleep.
I like the sound of that, sure.
Well, I scratched my head a minute and I said, George, I don't think I get it. Well, after a little bit more discussion, I realized those properties that we own, somebody's paying us rent every day of every week of every month of every year, and they're helping me pay down that mortgage, and I'm getting some tax benefits for it. And while I go to sleep at night, well, I'm earning that rent. I don't have to go to a job to earn that money. I go to my job to earn other money. So if you can find ways, maybe it's rental property, maybe it's a side gig you do in your spare time, so you're still spending your time, you're not making money while you're asleep, but you're using your talents for a second type of income, which frankly might end up turning into a business that you own and you leave your job to go into a business that you incubated in your spare time. There are a lot of different ways to increase your income without having to change jobs, but wishing about it, that is not going to get you an extra penny. So I'd encourage you, everybody, to look at the situation you find yourself in and say, 5 years from now, what am I going to do today and tomorrow and the next day to position myself to be worth more to an employer 5 years from now? What am I going to do to earn that extra money? I need to become more valuable to somebody. That's super strategic, But frankly, if you want to increase your net worth, you can do it in one of two ways. And by doing both of them, that's the fastest. Watch what you expend, hopefully reduce it, and bring more in. And the money you bring in, you just want to make sure that you save that money and not spend it. I think when I was 28, 30, you've probably heard, some of our younger listeners have probably never heard of a guy named Zig Ziglar.
I've heard. You probably guy that speaks in like big arenas or events or that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I went to one of those in Kansas City, downtown Kansas City.
Yeah.
And during his talk, he mentioned a book that I'm going to mention now. I know it's still in print, but you might have a little tricky time finding it. But I'll bet Amazon can find it. But I read that book when I was 28, and I've kept it on my bookshelf, and I've reread it several times. It's called The Richest Man in Babylon. So there's nothing magical about this book either, because when it was talked about at this seminar, I thought, wow, this is going to be magic. But frankly, it was terrific common sense, financial common sense that was put into story form. So it kind of made it easy to digest. But if you're looking for a quick, easy little book that you could read that might motivate you to do some of the things that we've just talked about in this podcast, you could start with The Richest Man in Babylon. And it is going to offer some super simple, common sense advice to getting you to the goals that you set up. And frankly, if you're listening to this podcast, one of your goals is probably, I want to increase my net worth over time so that I can retire on my own terms. Walter, we don't offer much on as far as offers on these podcasts because I want it to be just good information, but I'll offer this. So my business during the week is helping people who have already done these things. So my business is not about helping people who haven't already helped themselves. Now, there are some government agencies that help you do that, but that's not what my business is about. I have a wealth management business. But I will say this. If you have a question, you're in the process of doing this, and you have a question that you'd like me to answer, if you'd email that to me, even though you couldn't possibly qualify to do business with my firm, if you send me an email with that question, I promise to you that I will answer that question by return email. How would you do that? If you email ddickens@kcfa.com and ask a question like that, then I promise you I will return that with an answer. If that slips your mind, go to our website, coveryourassetskc.com. There's a way to send a message to me through the website. But if you have a question, if you have something that I said today that you didn't quite get and you need some clarification, you can get it directly from me, and I'm totally happy to do that. There's not a charge for that. It's just what I like to do. So let me know how I can help you. I hope something that I said today made a lot of sense to you so that 5 years from now, as you do your fifth net worth statement of the year, January 1st of 2025, you can look back and say, hey, it wasn't a straight line, but look at that. My net worth is significantly higher than it was 5 years ago. That's my hope for you. And hopefully something in the content today is going to help you get there.
Well, here is, again, the couple of ways that you can get in touch with David Dickens. CoverYourAssetsKC.com, or you can call the team at 913-317-1414. Or, again, the email is ddickens@kcfa.com. And we'll put links to all of that in the description of today's show. So if you have any questions and you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or one of the other podcasting apps out there and you're not on the website listening to the show, no problem. You should be able to find David's email in the link to the website in the description or the show notes section of whatever app you're using to listen to the show. And David, I'm fired up. Four simple strategies to increase net worth. And just like a motivational speaker getting us ready to go and lose a whole bunch of weight, I know I need to eat less and exercise more, and a lot of the same kind of impacts here from today's conversation too. So this was a lot of fun. Thank you for the help on today's show. We'll look forward to another great conversation with you next week.
I'll look forward to it as well.
All right. Thanks so much, David. If you've got any questions for David Dickens, once again, don't hesitate to reach out. CoverYourAssetsKC.com, the place to go online to listen to past episodes of the show and to reach out. And lots of more information there as well. We'll talk to you next time right back here on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.